Our sermon text for this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and it can be found on page 927 of your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you were still not ready, for you were still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you were not the flesh, and behaving accordingly to human inclinations. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted Apollos, watered, but God gave the growth. So neither one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Indeed, the word of God for the people of God, and it's humbling always to step into this spot and try to lay it out where we can all understand it a little bit better. And I promise you that some mornings you think I'm preaching to you and I'm preaching to me. Some mornings or some days I need to sit down and hear what somebody else has to say about the word. Nevertheless, it seems to be my job to be the one who stands up here and lays it out. But please, I don't think that the word preaching is really the right word. I don't know, maybe we've just given that word a different meaning by talking about parents preaching to their kids or politicians preaching to their public. You know, it seems like we kind of give that word a little bit of a negative ring when we say it that way. From the kid's perspective, don't preach at me. Or worse yet, you better practice what you preach. Yeah. It's true. It's true. That's where Jesus said something about somebody who condemns others or preaches to others should have a millstone tied around their neck and be cast into the sea. So that's the kind of preaching that I don't want to do, all right? But what I do want to do is share the word with you and expound on what it seems to mean for us. And this passage today from Corinthians has a lot to say. Matthew's gospel for today has a lot to say as well, but it was so complex and so multifaceted that I thought we'd be here an hour and a half trying to unpack that. It's like four readings in one. But this one, this Corinthians text that Marlo has read for us, centers around this phrase about the humility of the servant. It says, after all, what is Apollos? Or what is Paul? What's in a name is what that means. They are servants who helped you to believe. But each one only had a small role in making a difference. That role given to them by the Lord. And then he gives this phrase as the illustration. This is Paul the Apostle preaching to the Corinthians. He says, I planted, another watered the seed. He gives the name Apollos. That was another person. But it was God who made the plant grow. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's a lesson in community. It's a lesson of how we work together. We each have a role to play. Probably The scouts could explain that to us as well as anybody. When they pull up to a campground, they probably already have some jobs assigned. And when they get out of the vehicle, everybody knows what they're going to do. They may not know what everybody else is going to do, but everybody's got their part to play. And so we have sentences like this one in the Corinthians reading. Paul says, I planted the seeds. Apollos watered them, but it was God who made them grow. God gave the growth. Now, that has a lot of ways to be interpreted, but I think the most important thing that we have to do with a phrase like that, or with a verse like that, is to keep it in the right order. And if you think about this, the planting has to be first, then the watering and the other nurturing things, tilling the soil and putting fertilizer, but also then knowing that God is the author of time and that time is what it takes to grow. Time, seasons, warmth, rain, sunlight. You know, plants have to have sunlight to grow. I planted some seeds a while back. Actually, it's more than a while back. It was while we still lived over at the other house on Boston. I had gotten some seeds from Chinese tallow trees that I found in Oklahoma. And I'd saved those from a trip. And I'd kept them a couple of years. And I thought that, you know, seeds would last like that. And finally, one early spring, I set out some little planter boxes, little plastic boxes like you get at the nursery, and put good pot, went and bought the best potting soil you could get. And I started putting those seeds out. I broke up the pods, broke them open. I put some of the pod material down in there to be fertilizer and just hoped that that would help it to grow and feel at home. And I waited that spring, and I watched, and I watered them, and I possibly talked to them a little bit. I really wanted a Chinese tallow tree in our yard. I don't guess those grow very well here because those seeds did not even offer to sprout. It made me realize, while I was disappointed, it was humbling. It made me realize that, you know, we can do our part. We can do all that we can do, but then it's really up to somebody else to come along and harvest the crop, or it's up to God even to help it to grow or make it to grow. The seasons have to be right, you know. And that no one of us can take credit for growing something like that. It is a community affair. It is a cooperative affair. And we have to count on others, some whom we know and some whom we can't even see, to do their part. Anytime we set out to do something, to go somewhere, to accomplish something, I think we when we lay our plans, must include an understanding that it will happen if God's willing. And that sometimes the best of our efforts just perish on the vine and don't happen. I was raised in the home of another itinerant Methodist preacher from a generation ago. And I said all along the way that I would never put my family through that. But it seemed apparent that God had other plans. And yet, in the four appointments that we've served in my pastoral ministry, the people have been especially great to us and especially here in Bridgeport. In fact, it's hard to say where we're from. And when people say, where are you from? Well, you know, it's kind of hard to explain. You say where you were born, you start saying some of the places you've lived. I've gotten where I just say, I'm from Bridgeport. This is home. But I've had several homes. And I wanted to tell you about Avery, Texas. Anybody know where Avery, Texas is? Anybody, nobody knows where Avery, Texas is. You know, if you go north to 82, it goes through Gainesville across North Texas. And I'll do it this way so it's right for you. When you go east, you go to Paris, Bonham, Clarksville, and if you keep going from Clarksville, you come to Avery, Texas. It's right on Highway 82. We lived there when I was in elementary school, and my father served the Methodist Church in that community. It's a special place because I started school there, and we had a nice little frame house and a lot of land around it, so my brother and I could go hiking. We had a special place out in the woods that we thought nobody else knew about. My first piano teacher was Mrs. Worthen. She was the music teacher in our school there in Avery. And I remember the assassination of President Kennedy and hearing about that and seeing both my parents cry. My dad had a garden there, and it was a wonderful sandy soil. He called it sandy loam. It was the kind of soil that doesn't get packed down. You don't have to plow it. You just plant in it. You just dig through it and plant things in it. It was called the tomato capital of the world. Now, maybe the tomato capital of Texas, but they called it the world, and they had great tomatoes, and apparently tomatoes grow really well in sand. Squash did well too, and one day my dad was out in the garden and reached in when my mom was with him, and he reached in to a squash plant to pick a couple of spears of squash, and he pulled out a black racer and held it up like this, and my mother just about had a heart attack. Way back at the back of the garden, we had a spot, my brother and I, that little spot that we thought nobody else knew about. We just went back there and sat and talked and climbed the tree and sat in the branches of the tree, and we talked about lots and lots and lots of things. I learned some lessons in Avery, Texas. I learned how to care for a pet there. For the first time, I learned how to say goodbye to a pet there. I learned how when I was a little older to plow a straight row in the garden. You know, you can't plow a straight row by looking at the ground or looking at your plow. You plow a straight row by looking at where you're going at the end of the row. Pick out a fence post and walk toward it. That's not a bad lesson in life. In fact, it's pretty good. Pick out a spot, a distant spot, a goal. Set a goal and then walk toward it, taking steps each day or each hour. And you'll get there. But if you look around you at your feet for your goals, you'll end up walking in circles, plowing in circles. Kathy and I went back to Avery, Texas. A couple of years ago, we were headed to Virginia for a family wedding. It was right after we moved to Bridgeport. The house is gone from there. Gone except for the concrete slab that is still there. The garden is gone. In fact, it seems that property belongs to somebody else now, because I walked back toward the garden plot to look at it and to find our place in the woods, and a neighbor spotted me and started staring me down. I had to introduce myself at that point. He had thought that I was a tax appraiser, looking to see if I might raise the value of his property or something. I guess I looked official or something. I was at least looking like a stranger. But when I found the foundation that our house had been on, it was much smaller than I remembered it. You know, things look bigger when you're a little kid. Right there in that community, my dad served three churches: Avery, Williams Chapel, and Henrietta. And Henrietta was a church. It's not Henrietta, Texas now. This is East Texas. This is just a little community called Henrietta. It was a church that had stopped meeting. They had so many people that had died, and it was such a small number of them that they had just closed it, locked the doors, and probably not even locked them, just closed them and stopped meeting. But my dad kind of got some of the people in that little community back together and started having services again, and it wasn't long until it was thriving. You can't let a church die. You bring in new people and you spread new life and you share what you have. Don't just kind of meet together and hoard it. So since he had three churches, he had to leave early on Sunday morning, preach at the other two, and then come back to Avery for the main 11 o'clock service. That kind of left the family hanging because we only had one vehicle. A neighbor across the road decided to loan our family an El Camino. Remember what an El Camino looks like? It's like a little car made like a truck. I was a little embarrassed that we had to drive around in an El Camino, but it was a feature of living in Avery, Texas. Anybody ever had an El Camino? Driven one? Ah, Gaylord and Bunny. Yeah, El Camino. But it wasn't long till my dad got to buy a vehicle. And a second vehicle. He bought a 51 Chevrolet from his brother who dealt with used cars on a car lot in West Dallas. 51 Chevrolet, who knows how many miles it had on it. I don't even think the speedometer worked. It was a standard shift, 3 on the stick. And it was an old car even then. Kind of embarrassing to ride around in it, even for a little kid. But he bought it for $100, and when he was done with it, he sold it for $100. So I thought that was a pretty good deal. There was a row of pine trees out in front of that house, and they were there for a very good reason, because Highway 82 runs right in front of the house, not probably 20 yards off the front porch. And so some wise person had planted 4 pine trees across the front. Those caught some of the cars that went off the road and ended up in our front yard while we lived there. But one day I came home from school and there was a stray car beside our house, wedged between a tree and our front porch. And the lady and her son were in the house. And my mother had fixed them some lunch. The car was stuck there. They weren't going anywhere. Pardon my stories, but everybody has somewhere you're from. And no doubt you've probably had some images of your childhood, your past, that are bubbling up as I've talked here. Some people are just glad to be from there, away from there, maybe wherever there is for you. But even the worst of launching places are just that. They are launching places. They are a place to start. Growing up in Methodist parsonages, I hardly know what to say when someone asks me where I'm from. Anymore, I usually just say I'm from Bridgeport. But maybe it doesn't matter, because our loyalties should be larger than that. Whether you're an Avery Bulldog or a Holiday Eagle, a Wichita Falls Coyote, or a Bridgeport Bull, or Paradise Panther, or something else, you have larger loyalties. We tend to focus on the things that make us unique, but what we really do is put ourselves in small places so that we can rule. And when we think of the larger picture, we're really all in this together. And I think that's what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. To be on the same team, not to be opposing each other, but to be working side by side to make things better. Wise parents give their kids space for that. Within the safe boundaries, of course. But if parents don't grant that space to step out and explore, and the children find ways to get it, sometimes at great risk. You can't just cut them loose, though. They need a safety net, of course, and they need to know that it's there for them, but they need to know also that they have room to grow and to explore. The best thing that parents can do for their kids is to love them, to plant them, to grow them, to trust them, and to trust them to God. It's a curious reading today, a curious text to read those verses 4 through 6. It's a it's very revealing after all that we've talked about so far to hear these verses again. When someone says, I belong to Paul, and someone else says, I belong to Apollos, aren't you acting like people without the Spirit? After all, what is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants who helped you to believe. Each one had a role given to them by the Lord. Roles like these. I planted, and Apollos watered. But it was God who made the growth happen. I planted, another watered, but God gave the growth. Last Sunday we talked about light, but today we're talking more about where we shine that light. A place has a way of forming you and changing you. What you choose to do, whether it's march with the band or join the scout troop, whoever it is that you hang out with is part of your team and part of God's team, I think, to plant seeds and sometimes to harvest them. A place has a way of forming you and changing you. That doesn't mean you're to be a chameleon and ask the question, well, how will they know who I am if I don't even know? I think people will know whose we are, who we are and whose we are, by whose light we reflect. God has given us light and life in Christ, and it's up to us to reflect that light and to share it with others. Nurture what is planted within you and help it to grow, always in understanding that one plants, another waters, but it's God who gives the growth.